Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trophy presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer
a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs! Thunderstruck! Yeah,
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Dan Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. One day closer to the beginning of week one and finally seeing the product that is Brett Bielema's squad on the field Saturday night.
Yes.
6:30 here in Memorial Stadium. I'm ready for Thursday. We got some games on the college football slate. Utah and Florida. That's been a really interesting. I don't know if you followed that, but the coyness, if that's a word, of Kyle Whittingham between, is Cam Rising going to play? Is he not going to play the quarterback there at Utah? They've got some other injuries that they haven't disclosed publicly, and that's a big game. That's a ranked Utah team that maybe can win the Pac-12 again. And Florida, Graham Mertz, good luck with that as your starting quarterback, trying to improve off of a year that was
Yeah.
Anthony Richardson got himself in a good position.
Yes,
but
he did.
I'm ready for that. I'm ready for Nebraska, Minnesota.
Oh, I am too.
Just ready for just endless supplies of football.
Minnesota seems to be a pretty big favorite in that game against Nebraska as
7 point favorite.
Oh, is it only 7? Okay, I was looking at money line stuff. I didn't see an actual score, but the money line was almost 300, it seemed like. And I was like, whoa, that's kind of a big spread there. Yeah, it's funny. I know we had college football last weekend, of which I didn't watch one second of. But it's almost, for me, it almost starts Thursday night. Because there's some really, right off the bat, I want to see Nebraska and Minnesota, two teams Illinois play. Isn't it amazing, just with Illinois being good, how it changes the way you even approach watching other teams? Like in the past, if there were years where Illinois wasn't very good, well, I wouldn't really bother to sit down and analyze a Nebraska-Minnesota game because I'm like, well, what's it matter? They're both going to beat Illinois and move on. But now I'm going to be watching that game with the idea of, okay, how good is Minnesota? Because Illinois has to go to Minnesota. Of course, they get Nebraska here. But it just kind of changes the way you kind of look at the rest of the teams, and especially in that West, right, where I feel like Illinois, as we mentioned yesterday with Jay, I mean, a lot of toss-up games on the schedule, but there's no reason why Illinois can't come out on the good side of most of them. So it'll be interesting to just kind of analyze a couple of West teams tomorrow or Thursday night and get things rolling. Then we just kind of go right into the Illinois game, and then all of a sudden you got NFL starting, and you are right in the thick of it, right off the bat, which
sounds
is fun
to me.
Yeah, let's go.
Absolutely.
Let's go.
Instead of watching, you didn't catch Waino start last night, even though it was good, but the Cardinals don't score because their offense has been asleep for longer than the last month or so, and the Cubs unfortunately lost as well. And
Kyle kind of predicted that with Tyon on the hill.
He did. The game was over within about 5 minutes.
Is that right?
I mean,
Brewers. Oh, yeah, Yelich homered to lead off.
Yelich homered to lead off, and then Canha, or however you say his name, hit a blast in the first inning. It was 4-0 before the Cubs even hit.
The guy I thought the Cubs might go after at the signing to go after him. What, tonight? Pretty good one, right? You got Burns and Steele.
That's right.
So, but now the Cubs are what, 5 back? They're still a half game up. Actually, they have their second, right, in the wild card, a half game ahead. So these are still maybe, you know, I know you lose the game to the Brewers. Now you got to win 2 more just to gain 1. And it's the math is difficult, not really, but it seems difficult to keep chasing teams when you even lose 1 out of 3. So it's all about that wild card, though, right now for the Cubbies. But certainly if they could pick up 2 in Milwaukee, that'd be cool. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. There we go. We talked about the Cubs. Kyle said it. We'll talk about them tomorrow after they lose. And, of course, Derek, we're jumping right on that. So, sorry, Cubs fans. That's my fault. Hey, did you guys, real quick, not off topic, it's sports, but I flipped on ESPN today and noticed that Nebraska volleyball, which we know is always really good, do you know they're going to have 90,000 people watching a game? Because they're switching this. So what happened, according to this article, a couple of years ago, or maybe last year, I'm not sure exactly which, Nebraska went to Wisconsin, and Wisconsin held the game at the Kohl Center and drew an attendance record for women's volleyball, right, that beat Nebraska. Like, Nebraska has the next 8 or 9 highest attended games in the country.
Wow.
But Wisconsin decided to pull a fast one on them against Nebraska and went ahead and had the game to where they broke the record. So this just ate at Nebraska fans, and they got all over the coach of Nebraska, who then went to Trev Albert, the AD, and said, we got to do something. So they were going to play it maybe at Pinnacle, which is the home, of course, of Nebraska basketball. But then they decided, well, there's not enough seats there because we'll have probably 40,000. So they decided to play where Nebraska plays football. And is it Memorial Stadium? Is it Lincoln?
I believe that's correct,
or,
yeah.
Or Lincoln's the town, I'm sorry. But anyway, so now they are expecting 90,000 plus.
Oh, my God.
So you talk about, like, the record, the attendance record's like 16 grand. And Nebraska's like, well, we'll show you. We'll just pack in 90,000 to watch a volleyball game, which is incredible. Scotty McCreary is going to play after both matches, which is kind of funny. But, yeah, so there's 4 teams from the state of Nebraska, 4 colleges playing. Nebraska's going to play. I don't remember who exactly they're playing. And then 2 other smaller schools are playing. So, really cool. They just kind of – the state wants to show off its volleyball prowess, I guess, and – 90 grand. I can remember Kinnick Stadium in Iowa. I think it was Iowa and Iowa State wrestling. And they sold out Kinnick Stadium, which is what, 60, 70,000 for a wrestling match. So this is going to be pretty cool. In fact, the biggest crowd ever was for a World Cup, I believe, women's soccer game. The biggest crowd for a women's sporting event is like 91,800, I want to say, which was a World Cup event. Nebraska thinks they could maybe top that and have the largest crowd to see any women's sporting event ever. That's pretty cool, man.
That's really, really cool. Say what you want about Nebraska. I mean, Scott Frost, I know your guy. I think we still got it on here.
Scott Frost!
Nebraska ball. Their fans are legit.
They are.
Like, they had the sellout streak record,
yes,
for football. And
I think that's still going.
Yeah, I think so
as well.
I think
it's still going. They even mentioned that in the article that there was a point where that a few years ago was going to
end. In jeopardy.
Yeah.
And then I think didn't they have to, like, give away tickets?
Yes.
To, like, kind of doctor the numbers, yes, a little bit. But
I think a bunch of boosters stepped up and bought the remaining tickets, mm-hmm, so it would stay a sellout. So, you know, there's that little asterisk, or however you say that word. But, hey, it's one of those where they kept it going, and now, you know, they're still kind of down, obviously, but hoping Matt Rhule can get them back to where Nebraska football at least is. I mean, they're not even really competitive right now in the Big Ten, which is crazy.
I was looking it up today because I'm actually writing a college football betting article for Atlanta Inquirer.
Nice!
I'm going to try to do that this year. Hopefully I give out some winners and I'm not like, we're going into week 3 and Piper's like 1-11. Follow his advice and lose all your money that you buy a subscription with. But so it made me look into some stuff in Nebraska. They haven't had a winning season in, it's like 2016.
Is that right? That's crazy. I had recorded a Big Ten Network Elite is what they call the program, and it just talks about certain seasons for certain colleges in the Big Ten. One of them was Nebraska football. I mean, they won, what, 2 national, 3 national titles in the 90s, or at least 2, And it was amazing how good it was at Nebraska, and now all of a sudden it's just not very good. And Illinois is taking advantage. I mean, that's the funny part is that Illinois won, what, four straight? Is that right? Is it maybe not four? I should know my stats. But they have done their job against Nebraska in what it always seems like, that pivotal game.
I think it might be four.
Yeah. I mean, that was for how many years that was the pivotal game for me, thinking, all right, if Illinois is going to win six and go to a bowl game, they're going to have to take down Nebraska. Well, a few years they did, but they still didn't get to six.
Was that the opener 2019?
Mm-hmm, I think so.
Here they went to the Red Box Bowl. They beat him in 2020. No fans over there in Lincoln.
Oh, my gosh. That's right.
I think they smashed him.
Yeah, they hammered him that game.
And then last year they won convincingly mm-hmm. in Nebraska as well.
So there you go. So Illinois has taken advantage of Nebraska's swoon and has beaten this team quite a, you know, lately. I mean, it's just something that I wasn't used to from growing up in the 80s and 90s and how good Nebraska football was.
It really started with in terms of the series with Illinois and Nebraska, Scott Frost, for whatever reason, saw Adrian Martinez come to Champaign and put up like 600 yards of offense. Like, yeah, I don't know if we'll start him the next time we play Illinois. Not sure.
That should have been the – is that like the – what do they call that? The scarlet letter or what? I mean, was that not the point where Nebraska fans should have been like, hold on a second. Adrian Martinez basically beat Illinois by himself. And now a year later, you're not even going to start the guy? Because they had some touted freshman, right? They had a kid that – didn't he have some relation to –
they had a McCaffrey brother.
McCaffrey, that's what it was. And he didn't do horrible, but he certainly didn't beat Illinois. No. And I think Illinois kind of took advantage of him a little bit. So that is funny. That's a perfect point on your side. I mean, they should have known right there that probably Scott Frost – wasn't the right guy for the job. I'll put it that way.
Two more notes I do want to bring up. Like on the volleyball side, Illinois, they had the scrimmage or exhibition game against EIU that they lost.
Yeah. Now the basketball team rebounded that year.
They did. Well, that was like the front end of Underwood and trying to come back.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't have the.
Well, Eastern is a good team. EIU is a pretty good volleyball team. I think they may have made the NCAAs last year, and it is a team that returned everyone. So, I'm still, you shouldn't be losing to Eastern. Right, because Illinois volleyball has always been quite the power, you know, or at least a really good team making tournaments every year in the NCAA. But certainly that gave me pause when I saw that and read about that. That they're losing that game. So, I don't know. It might be a kind of an uphill climb for...
I'm trying to pull the schedule up. It's not loading on FightingIllini.com. But last year, they didn't have a great season.
No.
And you just hope that the momentum doesn't die on that front. I just say that it's going to go away. It's a program that has a lot of interest in this area for a long time. They've had some really stellar highs for... They had a great run for a long time. Like, when I was a kid in the 90s, they were really good.
Yes.
And obviously...
80s, they were really good.
Is that right?
Yeah. I interrupted you.
No, you're good.
I mean, you should be. You're used to that by now. But yeah, I mean, they had in the late '80s, they were incredible. And you're right. In the '90s, they just were in the national championship game. What about 5 years, 6 years ago? It's probably amazing.
Probably been a while.
I was going to say how many years ago that was. This probably would scare me to think.
Within the last 10 years.
Within the last 10. That's a good way to say that. So yeah, I mean, Illinois volleyball is expected to win, and so we'll see. We'll see if they can rebound and. Maybe that was but I know in that article I read it said that, you know, EIU would be a kind of team you would play in the first or second round of an NCAA tournament. So that's a good program down there in terms of volleyball, and they've really got a good squad. But yeah, let's hope that Illinois can get her go. I think they opened with Valpo.
Okay.
Valparaiso in that one.
Marcus on the U of I Atlanta Link text line asked, if Thomas struggles this year, is he gone or just on the hot seat? I honestly probably not the best person to ask that, but
no. No,
not sure.
I don't know either. I don't think so. I mean, I don't think he would. But there again, it might be a second year in a row. In other words, if you didn't do well, it'd be 2 years in a row. So we'll see. I mean, he seems like the kind of coach that's a good coach and can bring in talent, but I don't know what's happened. I don't know if everybody, mm-hmm. you know, everybody had that COVID season and they were really good. And then it seemed like maybe everybody at the same time graduated and now they're just trying to stockpile and get back to that. So we'll see.
Still a lot of volleyball to be played this season.
Yes.
We'll hope that they can bounce back from that. And then, yeah, on the football side, to kind of reiterate what you were saying earlier, like the fact of what can Matt Rhule do in an offseason to then game one, what does that Nebraska football team look like now? Like, you have Luke Fickell in the league. You have Ryan Walters taking on. I think you got some really good coaches who are going to be very productive at their respective spots. I mean, I think Walters is going to be a good recruiter. We'll see how he is as a head coach. He's a first-time head coach. Fickell, very proven. Rule did a great job at Baylor. But, like, what that looks like on Thursday night. Minnesota, I even told you, like, last week or earlier this week, I forgot Minnesota won 9 games last year.
It's crazy.
They don't have Tanner Morgan anymore. They don't have Mo Ibrahim. They don't have a handful of pieces on defense, a really good defense.
They had a really good center as well that was drafted high.
That's right. So what do they look like? But, yeah, I mean, it'll be knee-jerk reaction time Thursday night once you see how that first game plays out. And not, these aren't teams that are ahead of Illinois when you're thinking about, all right, who does Illinois need to jump over to win the West? But I do think, like you said, going to Minnesota, what is that challenge really kind of – how do you feel about that after game one? And I think Nebraska could be tricky coming here. Maybe I'm wrong. They were terrible in terms of stopping the run last year. If they're still that, Illinois probably handles them yet again. But I do respect Rule, and the fact they bring in a new quarterback, Jeff Sims, makes things interesting.
There's certain things that scare people, and it seems like for you this season, it's that Nebraska game.
I don't know. I just got a weird feeling
about
it.
That's like the spider on the wall or the snake, you know, in the garden. You're just like, there's something about that game.
Something about it I don't like.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And you know, you mentioned all those losses. What was the guy's name? John Michael Smith or something, that center for Minnesota, because I wanted the Arizona Cardinals to draft him because we need a center. But, you know, you talk about losing. You lose your center. You lose your quarterback that's been there forever. Mo was unbelievable forever. So they've got a lot to replace in Minnesota, but I think they're still expecting to be pretty good. So we'll see. I mean, that's going to be – and listen, Minnesota's one of those toss-ups. I don't think Nebraska's a toss-up game.
No, I'm not calling it a toss-up. I think it's one of those
– but I get it, because I always have one of those games that gives me that feeling you're having. I always have one of those games each year.
It's one of those spots where you could lose one that – really gives you that pit in your stomach as you go through. Like, Indiana was that last year.
Yes.
And you could understand some of the circumstances, like going on the road early in the season. You had a new quarterback, but you should have won that game.
Yep.
And it really haunted Illinois throughout the rest of the season. I mean, they still had destiny in their own hands late against Purdue, against
they totally
Michigan State.
Did.
But I think with Luke Altmyer, a young quarterback that I think is going to make some mistakes, you're replacing your secondary. I think that bakes in maybe even more so a letdown spot, maybe one where you feel like it got away and maybe a little bit more volatility.
That's fair.
I think that could be one of those. I'm not calling it right now. I'm not saying Nebraska comes in here and wins. They also got to feel like they owe Illinois a little bit. But then again, right. You got a lot of new faces over there.
Well, we owe them for a while.
I don't think Matt Rule is familiar with a whole lot in terms of Illinois and Nebraska. But
that's fair. That is amazing. You just brought up that Indiana loss. I mean, to think you could have had 9 wins – and you wonder what the momentum, how quickly the momentum would have been on your side if you win that game at Indiana, which you outplayed them ridiculously the entire game. Didn't we outrush them like 2-something to 30? Now, of course, their quarterback had a pretty good game.
Pretty well.
He was throwing all over against the secondary. I mean, there was some weird stuff happening in that game. Like, they had a lot of completed passing attempts and a lot of yards. And then at the season's end, you look back on that and say, how did Indiana do that? Because that secondary was incredible, as we know. So that's weird. I mean, Illinois outplayed
them. Boy, they
marched
down the field on
the
last drive.
Yeah. They did. Now, obviously, you had the horrible call on a touchdown. I mean, there were things that certainly happened that helped Indiana in that. But, yeah, let's don't have one of those games again, all right? Let's beat the ones we should and move on from it. Maybe us losing to Indiana last year will be Penn State coming and losing to Illinois this year. It'll be their first road game for that young quarterback, Alar, is that his name? Maybe that happens to where we can give Penn State a little bit of what Indiana gave us last year. Maybe Penn State outplays us. Maybe we get a call for once in the history of the University of Illinois, and it leads to – wouldn't it be cool if Illinois was on the side of, this is so wrong. Like, Illinois was given a gift on a touchdown that shouldn't have been. Has that ever happened in anything? I would love to be that fan base to where we could finally say, oh, does it feel bad? Oh, are you mad about that? Does that hurt? Yeah, well, we've seen it plenty of times. Cue up any Michigan game. Cue up any Ohio State game. I mean, as Jay says, the old Michigan flag or the Ohio State flag comes out. By the way, I was looking at some stuff. Illinois, they're stepping it up this season for football. And a lot of that is because they've got 10,000 new fans coming in, season ticket holders, I'm sorry, coming in. I mean, there's a lot of stuff coming. But last night I was just reading some of these emails that Brett Moore sends, and it was kind of going through all the cool things they've got for game one and stuff. And it mentioned for season ticket holders, there's a punch card this year. And I'm like, well, hold on a second. Now, I'm one of the idiots that doesn't do mobile tickets, so I still get my tickets mailed to me, which, sorry, but I love having the ticket. You and I talked about it one day. But I didn't get a punch card, so I was like, what is this punch card thing? Now, I normally don't pay any attention to any of this stuff. I don't take advantage of the Grange Grove, you know, the music that's going on. I do go watch the Drumline when they do that in the morning. I do enjoy the Illini Walk. I do stuff like that. But I don't really pay attention to anything else. But I actually called the ticket office today because I'm like, hey, so I've ordered 6 season tickets and I don't have a punch card. I don't know, was I supposed to get that? Is there a place I'm supposed to go to get that? And it actually, the girl said that a couple days ago, those were being mailed out to season ticket holders. So on behalf of the ticket office, I guess, if you're a season ticket holder, you should be getting a punch card soon. Now, don't ask me exactly what that brings you. I think it gives you some discounts at Game Day Spirit. I think it gives you maybe some discounts for food and drink at Illinois football games. So there's a lot of things that come with it if you want to take advantage of it. But if you're wondering what that is, or if you've even seen it, it sounds like it's on its way. Or maybe I'm just the one dude that didn't get mine, and they're like, hey, when this guy calls, just tell him that tickets or that punch cards are on the way. So at least they're on the way.
Let me drive this to his mailbox.
Right. And then I know at Grange Grove, I think during the day at some point Saturday, you can go to the marketing tent in Grange Grove, and they're giving away like first generation, second generation, and third generation buttons. I would assume that I would be maybe the first generation button and my boys would be the second, I guess. I mean, I don't know. None of us went to Illinois. So, I mean, Andrew could still go, I guess, but there's no, I had cousins that went to Illinois, but I didn't go to Illinois. So I feel like I shouldn't be wearing a pin or a button around. I'll get it for you.
Okay.
I'll get you and Cade.
There you go.
A first and second generation button. Hell, I'll be there at 7 a.m. I'll probably be over there helping the marketing team.
Helping them unload it off the truck. Yeah.
Anybody needs help, I got nothing to do between 7 a.m. and 6:30. So if you're out there and you need me to help set up a tent, some tables, some chairs, just come find us there in lot 31. I'll be the one sitting there with nothing to do.
There you go. There you go. We're going to talk more about week one as we go along. Actually get you filled in both on the Toledo and the Illinois side.
Yes.
Coming up at 3:30, Kyle Rowland, Toledo Blade, will join us on the Tapman's Towing phone line to fill us in on Daquan Finn and what challenges the Toledo Rockets
He's good.
He's a pretty good quarterback.
Yep.
Here to Champaign on Saturday. And then our buddy Jeremy Warner, IlliniInquire.com, 4 o'clock, will be on the Tapman's Towing phone line to talk about training camp and what he's taken away from that, and then going into week one, what Illinois needs to do to make up for the loss of Matthew Bailey, what he expects out of Luke Altmyer. And I also want to pick his brain a little bit on some other teams around the Big Ten, particularly in the Big Ten West, as we kind of size up our final gauge.
Awesome.
On, you know, where Illinois could fare in this in this division.
And you know me, I'm always about a week behind on my articles that I'm reading. I guess because I'm just all about Netflix right now. I don't know why, but that's what I'm all about. I don't have Cardinals to watch. You know, I might as well watch Netflix. But I know Jeremy did a story about who should win the final position battles. In other words, at some spots, like at right guard, I think is the spot we're looking at. Strong safety, I think strong safety, maybe free. But there's just in that other cornerback spot that I think maybe T. Strain is going to be able to win that job opposite Taz. But is it Taz? Yeah, Taz Nicholson. So, man, there's some new names now we got to get into our lexicon of memory here and understand that we got some new guys replacing some really good players on this Illinois team, and hopefully they're able to step up.
No doubt about it. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. When we come back, we'll talk to Kyle Rowland from Toledo Blade to get us filled in on that team, Illinois' first test on the schedule. We'll do that next. It is The Drive.
Make plans to pop into Pia's at 1609 West Springfield Avenue for happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday with 16-ounce drafts, just $3.25, well drinks $4, plus wine and seltzers for $4.50, and pitchers are $9. Taco Tuesdays get you big tacos for $2.50. $2 off on tequila shots and margaritas are $5. Get Mexican beers for $4 each. Go south of the border on Tuesdays at Pia's. Then there's Whiskey Wednesdays and karaoke a few times a month on Fridays with $4 fireball shots. Uh-oh. Football fans, plan to party at Pia's before, after, and during games as you get on the watch parties with great prizes and giveaways during the fourth quarter on special game days. Get 5 bottles in the Coors Light bucket for $16.75 or enjoy the $8.95 pitcher special on Illini game days. For the Bears, $4 Miller Lite drafts in the 22-ounce keeper mugs and Simply Spiked lemonade. Pia's is the place to party any day of the week.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
When you've got an emergency, call Dogtown Heating and Air. Whether it's HVAC repair, plumbing repair, or choosing a new system for your home, Dogtown is here for you. They're an independently owned Lennox dealer, and they offer financing and repair for all makes and models. They also offer a maintenance program to protect and prolong the life of your equipment. Open 24/7 for your needs. Call Dogtown Heating and Air at 217-841-4728. That's 841-4728. Online at DogtownHeatingAndAir.com.
Welcome to Sarah Champaign, home of their award-winning Honda dealership, a double recipient of the prestigious Honda President's Award. With a legacy of excellence, they offer you the finest selection of Honda vehicles backed by unparalleled customer service. As a two-time winner, they're committed to exceeding your expectations. Visit them today at Route 45 at Burwash or Sarah, S-E-R-R-A, Champaign.com. Sarah Champaign, home of Honda, BMW, Subaru, Buick, and GMC. That's SarahChampaign.com.
Hey, where are you headed?
To Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola.
What do they have there?
What don't they have there? Living room furniture, benches, chests, love seats, sectionals, tables, bedroom sets, hutches, nightstands, end tables, cabinets, mirrors, stools, clocks, lamps, pillows, rugs, desks, media consoles, patio furniture, Tempur-Pedic mattresses, and more.
So, everything.
Yeah, probably could have just said that.
Kelsey Furniture, quality for less.
Hey folks, fall is coming, and so are great deals on the world's fastest mower, Dixie Chopper, at Champaign-Urbana's only dealer, Dedicated Diesel, at 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana. They still have some 23 and a select few 22 residential and commercial models at liquidation prices too low to advertise. Whether you're mowing your yard at home or 200 yards commercially, you'll get the best warranty in the business with 3-year bumper-to-bumper unlimited hours or 5-year bumper-to-bumper up to 600 hours that includes the engine, deck, and spindle hub. Go see Andy Bowman at Dedicated Diesel in Urbana for warranty details and best pricing on the world's fastest mower. He's clearing out inventory to make way for the new 24s, and no reasonable offer will be refused. Dedicated Diesel, 1313 Triumph Drive in Urbana, that's just off Route 45, 217-328-0562.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
That's it. We are not. We're done. Next year, when fantasy football rolls around, you're going to tell me who you like at running back, or I'm going to tell you, and we're not drafting the same dude. Swift last year, now Jonathan Taylor. Taylor doesn't
Did
get
we
traded.
Both have Michael Thomas last year, too?
Yes. Yeah. That's right. You and I, man, we got some bad karma working when it comes to fantasy.
We need to draft players we're going to draft in other drafts, if that makes any sense. I got this guy, you got that guy. So even if someone's going to get burned, then that other person should be okay.
Yeah, at least one of us can have something to look forward to. But yeah, and by the way, if you're a Jonathan Taylor owner or even a Colts fan, looks like he's going to remain on the PUP list, which makes him ineligible for the first four games of the season.
Great.
Is he hurt? Or is he just holding out, right?
I think so.
Get your butt out there and play. Let's go.
Yeah.
Piper and I need you. Gosh, is there anything better than fantasy football and complaining about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
I think the start of week one of college football is pretty high up there. And to get ready for it, we're going to the Tapman's Towing phone line. We're going to be joined by Kyle Rowland, Toledo Blade, to fill us in on the Toledo Rockets. Kyle, how you doing? Thanks for joining the show.
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing good.
Great.
Let's start with this. Like, Toledo wins the MAC last year. MAC favorites going into this season as well. I mean, this is a spot traditionally that Illinois would be terrified of. I think they're confident coming off an 8-win season, but still respect Toledo quite a bit. Like, how do you think Toledo views this in terms of an opportunity for their season and just the ability to come into a Power Five's house and possibly pull the upset?
Yeah, a huge opportunity for Toledo. They definitely are viewing it that way. They know what's in front of them. I mean, they bring a lot of talent back. There's high expectations because of how last season went. And then they have a pretty manageable schedule. I mean, Illinois is going to be the toughest opponent all year. So if you win that, I mean, theoretically, you could possibly go undefeated and be the Group of Five team in the New Year's Six. So definitely just a monster game for Toledo on Saturday.
As we look and do our research, Daquan Finn looks like he's going to be an issue. And he's the dual threat guy, you know, 9 touches on the ground, 22 or 23 through the air last year. What challenges does he pose? Like, how do they use him that allows him to be dangerous both with his arm and with his legs?
Yeah, I mean, first off, he's just so fast. I mean, he's just a naturally fast guy. I mean, in high school, he was much more of a runner than a thrower. Had not the greatest throwing motion, you know, accuracy issues. Toledo worked really, really hard. You know, his first couple of years didn't really see any playing time, but in practice they were working diligently on getting him to be an accurate passer. It's worked pretty well the last couple of years. He got a little greedy at times last year and maybe, you know, had some overconfidence in his abilities and threw more interceptions than they would have liked, turned the ball over, you know, a semi-high percentage. But he's really, you know, continued to refine things in the off season. He's becoming a better passer. Even though his statistics... He has a knack for making the big passes when Toledo needs it. So I think there's just kind of a belief in him. And he was a big winner in high school, and he's done pretty well in college, obviously, with winning.
Dang it.
That was the final. The pause was a little bit. You're like, well, we might be having some issues. And then, boom. Kyle, we'll let you try to get him back on the horn there. This kid, is it Daquan Finn? He could be a little scary. I mean, he's a guy that I know I read, according to Kyle, even in the game they got blown out by Ohio State, which, by the way, I learned the Notre Dame game was 2 years ago. That was my bad when I brought that up yesterday. But the idea that Finn, when they got blown out by Ohio State, he still had a pretty good game. So I feel like he's going to get his. Does that make sense? And I think that's kind of what Kyle's saying. But it's just a matter of can you kind of stop everything else, et cetera, on this Toledo team. But that worries you a little bit. I mean, you're going to face a pretty good schedule with some interesting quarterbacks this year that you don't know anything about, essentially. And to face Finn and be able to kind of see his talent should give you a little bit of a thought of what you're going to be facing against Kansas as well. So definitely. I almost feel like this is a good setup game. And I'm not saying – I know we've had some people on our text line saying, you guys need to be careful about Toledo. Well, obviously, we know that. Like, I'm not just automatically saying Illinois is going to win this game by 50. I think it will be a good game. But I feel like this is a really good kind of test, if you will, before you get to Kansas.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Number one thing that comes to my mind is I'm glad that it's not a Lovie Smith defense is preparing to face a dual threat quarterback, because those guys just annihilated Illinois. And the fact that you have some veterans up front, like Johnny Newton, Keith Randolph, Gabe Backus, who's now a veteran, I think the ability to put pressure on Finn is going to make things challenging for him. But also, you hope that those guys don't get overly excited and lose their contain, allow them to escape the pocket. So luckily, Kyle Rowan back on the line. Toledo Blade were able to be rejoined by him. Kyle, we were talking still more about Daquan Finn, and you were talking about just becoming more of a thrower, more polished on that side of things in terms of his skill set. What do you think that he can maybe add to what he did last year? I know you talked about the turnovers too. Just going into this game, what kind of challenge do you think he's gonna pose in that category?
Yeah, I mean, I think ideally you want a little uptick in completion percentage and, you know, a little decrease in the interceptions. The biggest mismatch in the game, I think, is Illinois' D-line against Toledo's O-line. I don't necessarily think it's because Toledo's O-line is bad,
right,
although it's been a weak link. It's just that Illinois' D-line is so good.
I was going to give it a wait for it.
Dang.
I know. Hey, listen, there's nothing you can do about these things.
It's okay.
Except fire Kyle.
Which one?
Well, how about a two for Tuesday? two Kyles being out. Listen, there's nothing you can do.
No.
So, I mean, and luckily that doesn't happen very often, which is the case. I mean, you know, it is 2023. Can we just make sure calls are through? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it can't be that difficult. But, yeah, look.
Are we not sure that Jason Candle, the head coach of Toledo, isn't behind this? You know, disconnecting the connection. Let's not fill in the enemy territory too much on our team.
It's a good idea, because, you know, the coaching staff essentially said, you know, Coach B's got his plan for the day. 3:30 was to sit down in the conference room and listen to our interview with Kyle Rowland to see what Toledo's bringing in here, because I'm sure they don't know anything else about this squad. It's pretty funny when I read, and when I say that at the Illini Inquirer, I know Jeremy had a chance to talk to Kyle, mm-hmm, and it's kind of hard to believe, but when you look at it, the idea that they're underdogs against Illinois, but then the rest of the season, they're essentially the favorite against the rest of the schedule they play. So to be able to understand, if you're Toledo, not only are you feeling good because you won the MAC last year, you went and won in Boca Raton in the bowl game there, so you're feeling especially good about a great last season. And this was a coach in Coach Candle that was a little bit on the hot seat at Toledo. So now all of a sudden you're going, you win the MAC, you win the MAC championship, right? You go down, you win a bowl game. So you're feeling great. And now you're going to tell your team with this carrot, you're going to say, hey, this carrot, which is Illinois, ironically the same color a little bit with the orange, right? Derek just gave me the look. But like, that's your carrot to a perfect season. Like, it happens week one. If somehow you can go knock off a Big Ten power, which they've done in the past, they've knocked off some really good teams in the last decade or so at Toledo. So this is a team that knows how to win against the bigger teams, if you will, the bigger giants. But to tell your team, hey, if you're able to accomplish something that not a lot of people maybe expect you to do in week one, hell, we could go undefeated. And you could actually, like he said, you could be playing in a playoff as that one Power 5 team. Not Power 5, but what is it?
Group of five.
So it's just hard to believe and think that that's just going to give him a little more, I think, reason to want to come into Champaign and show out. But, of course, you're still going to have to beat Illinois, and I think Illinois is the better team. And he did mention that. I know it sounds like Toledo's, I think, got 4 out of 5 back on the offensive line. And so at least it's a unit that has played together, won a championship together, won a bowl game together. So you know they're pretty good. But that is probably what other teams are thinking about this Illinois defensive line. I know, did you get a chance to watch the very first College Game Day that they did with Reese and Kirk and those guys? Pat McAfee, by the way. That guy brings energy. He's the if you put he and Jay Layman in the same building,
who?
You'd have to, everybody else would have to run out because there wouldn't be enough like energy. The energy would just be with those two guys. But they did do a little, there was a little skit on the Big Ten, and essentially they went around the room asking about who's going to be the surprise team. Kirk Herbstreit said Illinois and talked a little bit about the Illini. Not a lot, but talked a little bit about him. And then as they went to break, Reese Davis essentially said, that team has a legitimate defensive line, and I'm not just talking about in the Big Ten. I'm talking nationally, one of the best defensive lines in the country. But when you look at it, again, you've got Johnny Newton, surefire first-rounder, unless something would go wrong, or you know, Keith Randolph, probably a second or third-rounder. Gabe Akis was an All-American last year as a freshman, you know, a freshman All-American, but I don't know why he couldn't be a high draft pick here in another year if he's around. And then, of course, Seth Coleman on the other side, who always kind of gets forgotten, who is a beast as well. Those four alone are going to just absolutely bring terror to offensive coordinators, offensive line coaches, and offensive linemen in general. And you should be bigger than Toledo as it is, right? You should be. There's more depth on this Illinois team. You should have bigger guys on the lines. That's something I said a couple weeks ago. You got to just overpower Toledo to get this done. But not only are you bringing power and depth, Derek, on that defensive line, but you've got sheer talent. And I, you know, that's not even mentioning the nose guard position where you're going to have a couple of really good guys in Tayron Edwards and then Danzel, right? Is that his name? Daxon. Is it Danzel Daxon or Daxon Danzel? I should know.
Looked at Kyle to try to.
I'm going
to
learn a lot Saturday. Question. I'm going to have to get one of those programs, you know, that give you the actual name so I can have these at the ready by week two. But I think this is not only a good, deep defensive line, but you're talking about four guys that could play anywhere in the country, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Jay said it yesterday, the fact that he would take that front four against any other unit in terms of that position in the Big Ten.
I agree.
And it, like you said, the fact that Herbstreit is talking about a position group about Illinois, they were doing so last year in terms of that defense and Chase Brown, but it had been a while since that had actually had Illinois on the national stage, and for them to be talked about, it's very well deserved. It's very well earned. I think that from the Toledo side of things, those guys are game wreckers. Like, they can end any type of good feeling you have about Daquan Finn or what you bring back or anything. That they can just be the game wrecker.
No doubt. They
can just completely take you out of a game. Outside of that, like, in terms of scheming up ways to block them, get the ball out fast, get Finn running outside the pocket, maybe if there's an over pursuit or just kind of like a play action, that's what is in the hands of Toledo to really try to make sure that if they can try to just do their best to neutralize Toledo,
right,
or neutralize that advantage that Illinois has on the front four, there's not a whole lot else that should like scare them too much about Illinois, honestly.
Yeah,
to be really like the secondary, they should be pretty excited to face an Illinois secondary that has that many questions. And then on the other side, I mean, you got a new running back, tandem of running backs to deal with. You don't have Chase Brown. You got a new quarterback. Like, everything outside of that tells you that Toledo can be very much in this football game and dangerous if they can handle that front four.
I totally agree. And that'll be something. And again, almost like a good test going into that Kansas game. And again, I'm not giving Illinois the victory here just automatically, but I think this would be a good setup, if you will, to a Kansas team that's going to be really explosive offensively, because it sounds like, as we bring Kyle Rowland back on. Kyle, what's up, my man? You're back.
That's how we feel.
We're like, what's going on this Tuesday? I did fire you and Kyle, our Kyle, so it was a two for Tuesday fire, but we hired you back here for the last couple of minutes here on this. Talk about this Toledo offense in general, not just the quarterback, but also, you know, obviously Johnny Newton's brother is a really good wide receiver for Toledo. Tell us what else this Illinois defense is going to be facing, because as you know, Illinois secondary took a big hit last year with losing some guys to the NFL. So what will Toledo be able to do to kind of expose some newcomers in that area?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the biggest thing for Toledo, especially early. I mean, if I'm Toledo, I'm attacking that secondary in the first quarter and just seeing what you have, what you don't have. I mean, they basically return all their skilled players. Juwan Newton, you mentioned, Devin Maddox. But yes, both of those receivers are kind of smaller burner type of guys. They tend to have a lot of big downfield plays. Toledo's, you know, big on creating explosive plays. At running back, they've got Jaquez Stewart, who is a really solid guy, and he's a fast guy too. He won a state title in track in Florida, which kind of tells you how fast he can be. But he had some ball security issues last year, which is not great for a running back. So that has to get better. Penny Boone, another guy, transferred from Maryland. He was a little big and out of shape last year. Was still serviceable, but they think they're going to get a lot more from him this year. So it's kind of a 1-2 punch in the backfield. But overall, I mean, it's a modern offense. I mean, certainly, you know, big on passing the ball, getting it downfield, playing with tempo. I think it'll be really interesting how the new clock rules impact things Saturday. I'm sure there'll be a little of that. But I just think, I mean, everything's going to flow through, like, can the line give Juwan Finn time?
Makes sense.
Kyle Rowland is our guest. You can follow him on Twitter, at Kyle Rowland, with the Toledo Blade. For Toledo, in terms of their defense, Illinois, it's Brett Bielema football team. There's no Chase Brown, and they do have a couple of new spots in terms of the offensive line. But the big question, I think the assumption is, when you have a physical Big Ten football team, can a group of five squad, a MAC team, hang with them in the trenches? Do you think that this Toledo defense can do that? And if so, or is there anything, if there is a mismatch there, that they can do schematically to kind of make up for that?
Well, it's interesting. Two things. Number one, I mean, obviously, I don't know how much it's been talked about there. It's obviously a popular topic here. I mean, Toledo beat Arkansas when Brett Bielema was the head coach. So people are kind of hanging their hat on that. But also, I mean, they're going to have Brett Bielema's attention because of that.
Right.
So I don't think he's going to take them lightly. But same style of team at Arkansas, that, you know, that he has at Illinois. Mm-hmm. So they obviously had some success against it. So 2 years ago, Toledo should have beat Notre Dame. I don't know how much you guys remember about that game. But the huge thing about it was Toledo's defensive line just embarrassed Notre Dame's O-line. I mean, it was pretty incredible to watch. I mean, you would have thought the teams, like, traded uniforms or something. But a lot of those guys are now gone. Deswan Johnson was a really good player. He's gone. Jamal Hines, very disruptive. I mean, those two guys combined for so many tackles for loss and sacks the last two seasons. And it's a big hole now that needs replaced. I mean, they've got some guys they think can do it. Darius Alexander, I think, is probably the number one contender to kind of pick up a lot of those numbers. But it's going to be a tall order. This is going to be the first game, you know, with new players up front. I think it's going to be important for the linebackers to play well because of that. So I don't think the mismatch is near as bad on the other side of the line. But, I mean, when you have these MAC teams that upset Big Ten teams, and it's happened, you know, every year since 2006, I think the line play is kind of where you got to play a Big Ten team that struggles on the line.
Yeah.
And Illinois just isn't that. And that's kind of why I think as the game goes on, Toledo will probably get worn down a little bit. Illinois, I'm sure, will have more depth than Toledo. So I think it's important to get a lead if you're Toledo. Maybe take some of the atmosphere out of the stadium.
Sure.
And the longer you stay in the game, I think if you're Illinois, that's when you kind of, the mental part of it comes in. It's like, oh my gosh, like, we're losing Toledo, and you start pressing and stuff like that. So I don't think it's a game Toledo can just, like, come back from and win.
That's fair.
Kyle, I know Atlanta fans are hoping to see a decent amount from Luke Altmyer. We had Isaiah Williams on the show yesterday talking about the ability to push the ball downfield. He has a big arm. Isaiah is an elusive receiver, but did mention that there's a good amount of respect for Toledo's secondary. It looks like they bring back a decent amount of starters. How do they fare on the back end, and just the success that could be had or maybe not in against that secondary with Illinois' passing game?
That's definitely the strength of the defense, maybe the strength of the whole team. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell was an All-American last year, which, I mean, to be an All-American cornerback at a MAC school probably isn't easy. He stayed in this transfer portal era, which surprised a lot of people.
Right.
Chris McDonald on the other side is a returning starter. Maxon Hook at safety is a returning starter. He's another guy that some schools were sniffing around. I mean, they're really good. I mean, they really kind of lock down. Teams don't have tons of success passing against them. Hook is just a super physical, hard-nosed, I don't know, Midwestern football player, I guess you could say. He's from Indiana. I mean, he's just kind of that undersized guy that went to a MAC program that has a big chip on his shoulder.
Sure.
So I think they'll definitely – I would be surprised if Altmyer has some just outstanding game. But I also think that's maybe like the biggest wild card in the game, because I don't know if any of us really know what he's going to be. I mean, potentially he could be great. And if he is, then Toledo's in major trouble. But if he's, you know, making his, you know, first start and maybe he's got jitters and there's not, you know, great timing or something like that, you know, that gives Toledo a little bit of an advantage. But I'm excited to see, you know, what he, Luke Altmyer has. But yeah, I think that's a wild card.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Kyle Rowland. We appreciate your persistence.
Join us for an hour. Thanks, essentially, Kyle.
Thanks for filling us in. You can follow him on Twitter at Kyle Rowland. Toledo Blade, I assume you'll probably be making the trip over here. If so, definitely safe travels and look forward to the game on Saturday.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks, guys. Sorry about the technical difficulty.
Oh, no worries, Kyle,
thank
man.
You, Kyle.
Thanks, buddy. Good stuff.
Kyle Rowland.
Yeah, I was just looking on ESPN on the – I went to the NCAA football page, and it's amazing all the Big Ten stuff that's going on right now. First of all, McCord replaces Stroud as Ohio State starter, so we got our starter in Ohio State. Iowa's quarterback, Cade McNamara, is questionable in the first game. Harbaugh slams the status quo. He wants players paid. The Nebraska Huskers had their wide receiver, Gilbert, who was already in some issues. He was arrested on a burglary charge, so I doubt he plays this year. So I guess for that Nebraska team, that's not good for that. And Michigan's offensive coordinator is suspended for the season opener. I'm not sure why I haven't opened that. And, of course, we know that Harbaugh, Michigan, has suspended their own coach for the first three games. Now,
it's for the same reasoning. For
yeah, exactly. Or four, right? First four games.
Well, it ended up being three.
Is it three? Okay. Because I know that I know the OC was going to coach one, the defensive coordinator was going to coach one, and then they were going to let – who was the running back that called Michigan State, his little brother?
Mike Hart.
Yeah, Mike Hart was going to coach, and then actually Jim Harbaugh's son was going to be the head coach for one of the games. So they were going to make four different head coaches for that. And that's
how convenient. They open with East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, and Rutgers.
Yeah, and
all
Rutgers.
At home.
Yeah. Oh, but we're going to suspend our coach for four games. That's attaboy.
Actually,
that's
three.
The way to show him. Yeah, and then we're going to change it to three. That's the way to show him right there. Hey, Kyle mentioned the new clock rules. And in case people, I heard about these not long ago, but the college football, what they're going to do is they're going to go more like the NFL in terms of the running clock. So college football games, I know I have sat in Memorial Stadium for 4+ hours, and they are long games. So in this society we live in now, we try to rush everything, right? Baseball needs to be rushed. Now college football needs to be rushed. And it's all because of your generation, Kyle, just so you know.
I don't support any of it.
Okay,
I'm a rare young person that doesn't really care
for
that.
I'm paying for this stuff. I want to be entertained for as long as possible, right? I don't need to rush through anything. So, but the running clock after first downs, so they'll have a continuous running clock essentially in college football now, whereas they used to stop it after a timeout. But did you guys talk about this when I was gone?
We did not.
Okay,
no.
I didn't know by chance. Now, the last 2 minutes of each half, they will stop the clock on first downs. So the last 2 minutes of the second quarter and fourth quarter, they will stop the clock. Teams cannot now call consecutive timeouts to ice that kicker, which I thought was always dumb anyway. And then untimed downs will only occur in the second and fourth quarter. So if there was a live ball penalty on a final play of a quarter, the officials would extend the quarter with an untimed down. Now that will not happen in the first and third quarters. It's just another measure of shortening game time. So there you go. We'll see how it impacts. Now for you, Derek, I offer this, the betting impact, and I know we got to take a break. Will this, this might impact some of those overs.
Some over-unders, yeah.
So that's something to think about is if you're going over-unders.
Yeah.
On,
and I am going to take an over on a huge total in week one.
Oh, I did that one time with Alabama, and it was the most, they won, and they hit the over, but it was the most painful, like, last hour.
Oh, it's 4 o'clock.
Oh, gosh, yeah, we need to get out. Sorry. That was Fox telling us, shut up, Lon. Fox interrupted me, and that's probably I probably deserve that.
Okay. You got to take a break. Jeremy Warner, IlliniInquirer.com, coming up next. Talk more Illini and Toledo. This is The Drive.